8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast, whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers. In this hour of radio about radio, go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
3, 2, 8. Today on the Radio Art Hour, we feature Yvette Janine Jackson's 2021 work, Test Flight Number 1, and Diana Chang's 1989 work, Falling Free. We'll hear Chang's tale of Asian immigrants coming to America in the second half of the show. First, we'll hear Yvette Janine Jackson's 2021 work, Test Flight Number 1. Jackson is a composer and installation artist who brings attention to historical events and social issues through her radio operas. She blends experiences with her work as a theatrical sound designer and electroacoustic musician into a narrative style of composition. Jackson's work is inspired by early 20th century radio plays and theatrical sound design. She writes, quote, Test Flight Number 1 is an etude for a series of compositions themed around commercial space tourism. Let's get on board now with Test Flight Number 1 from Yvette Janine Jackson.
Three, 9, 6, 0, 4, 0, 2, 6, 7. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
from 2021. That was Yvette Janine Jackson and her Test Flight Number 1 on the Radio Art Hour. Next, we're tuning in Diana Chang's Falling Free from January 1st, 1989, commissioned by New American Radio. And the New American Radio archives are now at wavefarm.org. In Chang's work, a curious repeat of the history of Asian immigrants, she focuses on an elderly Chinese-American woman left behind in an American suburb by a husband who wishes to return to his native China. More Americanized than he, her solitude proves a liberation. Told as a monologue with flashbacks to scenes from her earlier life, Falling Free is a delicate, poetic rendering of ambiguities, the ambiguity of the Chinese-American experience and of human desire. This is an adaptation of a short story by the same name, and again, it was commissioned by the New American Radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information. Here is Diana Chang's Falling Free.
Neun, neun. Drei zunächst Gruppen. Achtung! 2, 6, 4, 2, 6, 4, zunächst 6 Gruppen.
Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorrington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorrington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Falling Free by Diana Chang. Thank you for listening.
Let it go. Oh, let it go. This is peace. This is all I need. My chair and I reflected in the window. I'm a ghost before my time. Such thoughts. Such whiteness I stare at. In these rooms, in these walls, all my own. White reminds me of... what does it remind me of? Of course, the color of mourning where Ying is gone. Ying, my husband. Ah, yes, he is my husband. In China, white is the color of mourning, the color of loss and grief. White, the absence of all color. What sense we Chinese make? We had a son-in-law, Louis, part Welsh, part Portuguese. He looked like a gypsy with green eyes. He should have worn one hoop earring. At college, our daughter met the gypsy-like assistant professor. My Chinese husband said, "Regarding miscegenation, I am of two minds." You think it's a simple
regarding
matter?
Regarding miscegenation, I am of two minds. You think it's a simple matter?
He troubled himself, I could tell. His foot tapped, kept tapping. got on my nerves.
I'm a liberal, however. A liberal.
But Mimi is of one mind.
She wanted that assistant professor, and he desired her. Our fine-boned daughter. Oh, well. I'm almost colorblind now. In the evening, green and blue look alike. In any case, the world's been shrinking. I mean, just look at our grandson. To see I lean so close. Too close, I'm sure. Taking in his features. His eyes, his nose, his skin. They seem to slip as you're looking from east to west and back again. And yet, they're so clear-cut, so pure. Let it go. Oh, I shouldn't have written Timothy. That man. But he won't. He shall not get in touch with me. Timothy, Ying's colleague. Yes, his colleague. By writing Timothy, I handed over common sense. We Chinese don't do that. All I want are my plans, my walk to the corner, my single bed, my talking to myself. I will Timothy not to call. Anyway, I won't let him leave Boston. One. Two. Three. Four. Four. Four times. No need to answer. It leaves the house emptier, more silent. It's the past that was full. But friends have gone. Mimi, our daughter, died. There was no one for Ying to stay in the States for, except me. He writes twice a month and sounds more and more Chinese. Everyone is leaving me behind. Even life is receding from me. Oh, Timothy. But it's too late. I don't yearn anymore. The moon's deserted me. I'm dry. Still, I'm younger than Ying. I always rubbed it in. You're getting on, I told him 30 years ago. It's too bad. We were in St. Croix. I was 47 and he was 53.
Compared to these people, you look like an 11-year-old.
It's all that butter. Those sides of beef, quarts of hard liquor they stow away. They can't help it, you know.
Americans were they. German tourists, Swedish ones. But so were Chinese.
Look, they have to catch up with technology.
He was worrying over mainland China.
They're of nowhere.
From nowhere.
With all its ills, they can't bypass industrialization. Mao will learn the hard way. Mark my words.
Ying's part of that they now. Me, I'm now from nowhere. No longer part of a we. Interesting. I'm only I. I am. I still am. So far and meanwhile, till I leave even me. Timothy's last name is Ayres. Scottish. I was having one of my lapses when I wrote him that letter. I'll tell him that. One of my lapses caused me to write him. That barbarian. That driven, self-searching barbarian. My Timothy.
One. Two. Three. Yes, four. Five. Ah, it disappoints me. But I'm relieved, too. It's probably only my neighbor, anyway. She's strong and short of cash, so she helps out. Yes. Here are the albums she took down from the attic for me. See, that's when Timothy arrived in a convertible. His scarf looped around his neck. Timothy and Ying were both involved with Venus, studying Venus at Yerkes Observatory. Those two tracked gases and speeding light, dealt with infinity. Yet my physicist's husband, sure of me, wondered at nothing, had no idea that Timothy, married as often as he was, waited, was waiting. Time. Time is cruel. I won't have it. My neck is stiff. Time's yoke grows heavier. Mimi, our daughter, escaped his yoke by dying. She was exactly 33, 4 months and 7 days old when she died of a rare blood disease. Ying and I brought up Winston, our grandson, though his gypsy-like father denies it. Ugh, that telephone! Just because it rings, must I answer it? I am what I am now. My plants, my windowsills, my afternoon walk. If only I could stay in touch with myself forever. Ying could never get used to my most natural thoughts. After 55 years here, he had to go all the way to China to get away from me. Think of that. I've been married over 50 years. 50 years made contingent by Ying's need to go home. Why did I write that letter? I simply won't answer the phone for a week. I'm content. Completely content, after all. Timothy stepped out of the convertible. Rather tall. I felt nonplussed. Put in a quandary.
Ying! Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's all
Ying
right.
Ying was standing next to me.
No problem, no problem.
As Timothy approached, his scarf slipped out of its loop, fell from his neck to the ground. He picked it up, and as Ying introduced us, Timothy flung it over my head like a skipping rope, flicking one end through the other.
It's yours. Suits you.
We smiled at one another.
Besides, Ying,
slowly.
I forgot to bring a present. You know
we
me.
We seemed to be remembering something,
so
though we had never met before.
For Pete's sake, come in. You're full of baloney. Come with me.
Leave May out of it?
He was referring to his wife. She was suing him for the first of what turned out to be their two divorces. I wound a scarf around my neck twice so it wouldn't slip off. That scarf, the color of moonlight on a pond, a blonde presence, the color of sheen. Friends call me and take me for rides. Miriam across the street goes marketing with me. Listen, there are plenty of people left, more than enough. I'm the center. I stand in the middle, which, according to the Chinese, is the fifth direction. I'm my center, a Chinese direction. Ying's in Peking, but he needn't think I'm so American yet. I was walking along a plate glass window the length of a building. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a woman hurrying. She raised her knees high as if to climb. She stepped stiffly, floated forward jerkily. When I gasped, she did too. Her hair was as silver as anyone's hair. That's why I didn't know who she was. So finally, she looked like the rest, like any old Caucasian. At the corner, she and I put out our hands for support on rear fenders of cars. "You're me," I said. "You're me," she said back. Polarity, space, time. Ying and I considered such matters. "You, of course, in your way," he never forgot to add. My way never did seem to match his. So busy, so busy. I used to be so busy. I was interviewed, won awards for my designs. I turned out costumes for Kismet's, King's and I's, and Terence Rattigan's too. That relative of Ying's was in The King and I. Ying Wai Guo, the brilliant young physicist, came backstage to visit. I have to laugh. A bolt of fabric fell on me, and this physicist picked me up off the floor. It was metallic and weighed a ton. It knocked the breath out of me, so I didn't notice he fell in love on the spot.
I was the one hit.
Really?
I was the one hit.
You felt hit?
Definitely.
And I can hear Timothy say, "Admit it. Just admit it,
admit
and
it.
I'll leave you
just
alone.
Just admit it, and I'll leave you alone."
I never admitted it. I never said to him, "I saw and loved." Timothy admitted to it all over the years in which he married 2, 3, or
coward.
However many times.
You're a coward.
I'm married. I have a daughter. I love Ying Wai Guo, who happens to be my husband.
All three are true. But something more is also true.
You're just another stargazer, I told him. Ludicrous, wild, shameless. I mean, there are ways to be, and we Chinese know those ways. We're matter-of-fact, didactic, categorical. These Westerners. What keeps them together, I wonder? They're soulful and selfish. They're transcendent, intrepid, shameless. I stayed happy with Ying. Together, we weathered Mimi's illness and death. That's the meaning of marriage. Any Chinese would agree. I even agree with myself. I admit this. For decades I longed. I had two hearts, it seemed. Heart and womb. Both longed, both waited. I laughed myself. At Palo Alto, Ying was promoted over Timothy. Was that a sign from outer space? Timothy left Palo Alto. He sent postcards with no return address from Paris, Buenos Aires, Baltimore. A book came out. He was famous for a season. He belonged now to his success. I thanked my lucky stars. I'm disappointed when it doesn't ring. Disappointed when it rings too often. Last week, my grandson Winston was exasperated.
I thought Chinese women were cooperative. Why the hell can't you see you should be in a home with people to look after you? Grandpa had no business splitting. at his age, at yours. Mm-hmm. He who was always grinding the Chinese axe of propriety. How would this look? How would that look? As though anyone gives a damn. It's unseemly. His word. It's a disgrace, his abandoning you. I'm getting you into a home. I don't care what.
I like it here. This is my home. I don't blame Grandpa one bit. What would I be doing in Peking?
Cramps. This bicultural, so westernized, so mixed up family. And it isn't Peking. It's Beijing. Please. Tell me straight. Is it Chinese to abandon your wife when she's as old as the century?
I'm only 79. Try to get my age straight.
Suppose you fall. Suppose you fall and can't get to the phone.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but Grams is right, too. You know how the Chinese are about family. His brother, his sister-in-law, they're hopeless cases about family. One. Two. Three. It's beautiful to be alone on this sofa. Once a week, my neighbor takes me marketing. She tells me new ways of making jello. We have supper out, my treat. We talk and laugh a lot. Friends take me to the movies once, twice a month, and I sit down front. What more do I want? Before departing, Ying said, I'm thinking of you alone here.
I'm thinking of you alone here. The financial arrangements are secure, more than secure. I've seen to that. Winston's a man now and will look out for you.
From California? I want you to stay, but you must go, I understand.
I am Chinese.
Bo Yongxua, no need to say.
A man must die in his native land.
Oh, you talk as if you're winding up a speech at a banquet. Die. All this talk about dying. You're only 82. We didn't smile. That was 3 years ago when his brother wrote asking him to visit and to stay. I never let on that I knew he'd instructed them to ask him. Ying's letter had said, it will be easier on my wife if you and Ergie demand that I return. Bring up your suffering during the Cultural Revolution in that windowless closet. Say you must see me. 40 years have passed. Dear brother, suddenly I'm overwhelmingly homesick. A sign, perhaps, that my time is short.
You won't be able to adjust. You're too advanced in years, even if you are appropriately younger than I. And too used to comforts, luxuries. Where would you get sauna treatments in Beijing? Is your arthritis getting any better? Can I ask you to make such sacrifices at your age? I can't be so unreasonable, can I? They'll find you so foreign, don't you?
All right. I've taught myself to need no one long
since.
Going
home is a fitting conclusion to my life, my career. As a physicist emeritus, I can bring something to my country, above politics, above self-interest.
The four of us were at the Princeton Club. Ying was greeting someone half a room away. Timothy's second wife was coming down the hall from fixing her hair.
Remember how I feel. Remember.
I did.
Leave me alone.
I never will.
Do.
You want to wreck my life?
I remember how we felt.
I am Chinese.
And cruel.
You're so foreign.
But he was cruel, too. Standing there next to him, his wife shimmering toward us. Trick of my eyes, I suppose. Was a hardship to bear. These Americans, those Chinese, we were always saying. Ying said, Timothy doesn't marry for good.
We Chinese are taught to love once, deeply and faithfully,
Divorce isn't easy for anyone, including them. That he remarries the same girl. Remember he married May twice? Makes him nice.
You always generalize from too little. Scientists don't.
We marry as much for the sake of the institution, for society, as for ourselves. They marry for the sake of one another and for themselves.
Individualism again.
Why don't you say what you think?
Selfishness. Shamelessness, too. They don't care what anyone thinks.
I'm so glad you'll never divorce me.
I have no reason to.
He was right. I gave him no reason to go home, and we're not divorced. It's Timothy who ended up with no one. Serves him right. It's Timothy who's alone. And me. Late. It's so late. It's good to lie down. My hair plaited, my long nightgown, the blanket up to my chin. In sleep, I'm ready to go. I don't sleep so much as I swoon. White's the color of morning in China. I fall asleep, I suppose. I dream of a white face at the whitening window. Oh! 2 3 Three rings. Only three. Oh, my. My letter said precisely, if you are still there for me, phone from Boston. I'm not what I used to be, so ring only 3 times. Then hang up, and a minute later, ring again. That way I'll have time to get to the phone. What an hour to call. You're so inconsiderate.
I've been in the hospital. Well, nothing serious. Got your letter last night. How are you?
How am I?
I wanted to wake you up. Finally. Huh? I'm not in great shape. I hope you're good and rickety, too.
Worse than that.
Wasted.
You threw yourself away on too many women.
Wasted years.
I've been playing dead. I thought it'd be easier. Isn't that all turned around, though?
Didn't you worry I wouldn't call?
Not at all. Oh, yes, yes. What was once so hard is now so easy. Rent an apartment nearby, for now.
Yes, yes.
We'll take each day as it comes?
Yes. Yes. You remember how I felt? All these years.
I'm well past longing. Oh, Timothy.
At last. At last.
We possess now so much time. I'm a woman in a lacy gown, making my own way. I'll put up my silver hair for an old man to take down. I can blossom. I can attract bees.
You just heard Falling Free by Diana Cheng, broadcast by New American Radio.
4, 7, 8 7, 9, 8, 6, 0, 8, 9, 9, 3, 1, 8, 1, 5, 0, 8, 1, 9.
5 7 6 6 5 2 1 6 9 6 9 9 6 7 7 8 0 7 8 5 1 8 8 0 3 8 4 1 9 8. We'll leave this edition of the Radio Art Hour with Gregory Whitehead's Audio Radio.
9 2 8 1 3. I say again.
9 9. That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellows Jess Speer and Karen Werner. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
0 0 6 8 2 8 7 0 8 6 8 0 9 8 6 8 0 5 0 5 5 and
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.